Morning again, everyone. You may recall that I had a significant birthday this year. I'm 40 again. But at the time, it caused me to reflect on life, and in particular to realize how much God had blessed us, me as an individual and us as a family. But more recently, I've got to thinking about myself, and things that are good and what I think tend to be called improvement points these days. Nobody has faults anymore. And I don't want to talk about myself this morning, but Dennis Gillett used to say, I persist in the notion that I am normal. What he meant by that was that he thought he was actually not much better, not much worse than anybody else. That he had the same sort of strengths and weaknesses as most people have. Sorry, improvement points. So if I'm talking about my improvement points this morning, I'm doing not because I want to talk about me, but maybe, perhaps, I'm also talking about you. It may be, it's not inconceivable that in an area where I think I need to improve, maybe it might be helpful to you as well. The area where I decided was an improvement point for me was prayer. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I decided was that I need to pray more and about more. The trouble is, I tend to feel responsible for things. That's not altogether a fault, is it? I mean, you could say, okay, you feel responsible, so, I tend to see things through. I don't let things drop, all that sort of thing. But there's another side to the coin. And the other side to the coin is that I forget that everything's in God's hands. I tend to think that they're in mine. It was the mistake that Nebuchadnezzar made, wasn't he? Wasn't it? Is not this great Babylon that I have built? And there was some truth in that, but what he didn't realize was that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. He called himself King Nebuchadnezzar, but there was a greater king than he, and that was what he had to learn. Well, we don't rule empires, and we haven't built the biggest city in the world. But the same thing is true about small things in life, as well as big ones. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord, we read in Proverbs. I don't like the NLT very much, but sometimes it just hits the nail on the head. We may throw the dice, it says, but the Lord determines how they fall. And that's what I tend to forget. And maybe you do as well. And the effect is that I need to pray more. Because what really matters in life is our relationship with God and the Lord Jesus. Nothing else really matters. And communication is the basis of any relationship, isn't it? You can't have a relationship with someone unless you communicate with them. I mean, it would not be much of a marriage if Christine and I had a brief conversation in the morning and in the evening and a sentence or two before a meal. That's not what a relationship is about. And we've read a few times recently, Jesus told a parable at the end of which he said, I never knew you. And isn't that an awful thing? An awful thing to think that Jesus might say to us, I never knew you. And How does he get to know us? Well, he gets to know us in different ways, doesn't he? But one of them is that we talk, we communicate. I remember, you're too young to remember this, all of you, but about 40 years ago, Prince Charles, as he was, and Diana, as she was, were in Australia. And all the press noticed that their marriage was on the rocks. And it was perfectly simple. It was just that they weren't talking to each other. And, I remember the newspapers publishing photographs of them sitting awkwardly side by side at some event or other, not communicating. It's a simple measure of any relationship, isn't it? How much do you talk? And it's easy to say, well, yes, we pray about the big things, of course. It's the little things. We don't trouble God with the little things. And yet, Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Even the Lord's Prayer, it's got big things in it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. God's concerned about little things as well as big ones. Think about the man who's axe head fell in a river. And you'd just think, oh, that's bad luck. I'll have to buy another axe head. But off he went to find Elisha. And he went to Elisha because Elisha was a prophet. And effectively, in asking for Elisha for help, he was asking God for help. And then there's children. Here's another scary passage of the words of Jesus. They were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, but do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And here's the scary bit. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And the word that Luke uses for child is a word that means little tiny children. It's used of John the Baptist before he's born. You remember when Mary goes to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth, it says the babe leapt in her womb. That's the word. And later on, the angels say to the shepherds, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's the word. Because children ask their parents about anything, don't they? Anything that troubles them. Off they go to mum or dad. And as a parent, it can be a bit irritating at times, can't it? Children tend to just want to keep the conversation going. But times I used to say to our children, I love you very much, but go away. Because that's how children are. And that's how God wants us to be, wants me to be, wants you to be. So, yes, pray about important things, but pray about trivial things as well. Because the thing is, we don't know which are the big things and which are the little things. I guess one of the biggest things that happened in my life was that 60 years ago, at a birthday party, I'm not even quite sure why I was invited, but anyway, I was. There was just a moment when I wasn't talking to anybody, and there was a girl sitting opposite who wasn't talking to anybody either. I didn't know she was going out with somebody else at the time, but I went and sat by her, and we got on okay, and we're sitting together now, 60 years later. Because we don't know which are the big things and which are the little things in our lives. So that's my first improvement point. Pray more about more. And my second improvement point, and maybe yours as well, is be more thankful. Be more like Marigold. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, just notice the words, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, not when everything's going well, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's an amazing psalm. Well, I think it's amazing. The heading is of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. You remember David was being chased by Saul. Saul was trying to kill him, and David was on the run. And in the end, he escapes, and the only place he can think to go to is an enemy. He goes to the Philistines, and he goes to Achish, Abimelech, in Gath of all places, where Goliath had come from. You can just sense how desperate David must have been. And in the end, he has to pretend to be mad. Do you remember? He has to pretend to be mad to escape from the hands of the Philistines. And you would have thought that was the very worst time possible in David's life. And verse one of the psalm says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So trust in God more. Be more like Marigold. Now that I've mentioned Marigold, I may have told you about Marigold before, but you can bear to hear it again. When we were first married, our first house, we lived in Warfield, sort of close to where Rita and Adrian live. We're in the country, on a country road, and next door but one to us was Marigold. She lived in Rose Hill Tea Cottage. So she was a little old lady, grey hair, and she used to serve afternoon teas in Rose Hill Tea Cottage. She didn't drive, she hadn't got a car. So if she wanted to do any shopping, she had to get a bus into Maidenhead. And on a Tuesday and a Thursday, there was one bus going to Maidenhead in the morning and another bus coming back in the afternoon. So that's what she did. Trouble was the buses were unreliable. And more than once, she would be standing at a bus stop at Maidenhead, waiting for a bus that wasn't going to come. And once I saw her at the bus stop and I stopped, gallant me, because I'd got a car, stopped and gave her a lift and had a bit of a rant about how irresponsible the bus company was, failing to pick up little old ladies by the side of the road and take them home. And when I'd finished, thinking I was being all heroic and sympathetic, there was a bit of a pause and she said, the Lord always sends somebody along. Thing is, she hadn't been waiting for the bus. She'd been waiting for the Lord to send somebody along. And when I stopped, she was not thankful to me. I suspect she said thank you. But she thanked the Lord because he'd sent somebody along, like he always does. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And a couple of verses further on in Lamentations, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So I went from a helpful chap who'd given her a lift to a student sitting at her feet and learning from a woman of enormous faith. I'm struck by the chapters of Ezra, where Ezra puts in an appearance, chapter 7, he first appears. It never actually says that he prayed, but it says things like, the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. On the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, for the good hand of his God was on him. King Artaxerxes gave him a letter instructing those around them, around Jerusalem, the Samaritans, everybody who was there, that they had to help Ezra in every way possible to establish the worship for God in the temple. Ezra doesn't say, "Oh, I was so clever, I organized all this." He says, "I took courage, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me." When he discovered that there weren't any Levites among the people who were accompanying him, he says, "And by the good hand of our God on us, they brought us a man of discretion." The hand of our God is for good on all who seek him. The hand of our God was on us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. And so it proceeds. He was a man who saw God's hand in big things and in little things that happened. And that's what Marigold did. And I would like to be more like Marigold. And the third thing, my improvement point, and maybe yours as well, is don't be grumpy. Don't complain. Don't moan. Don't get cross. It's not new advice. Before we got married, Christine and I, only one person gave us any advice. It was Christine's father. And he only said one thing. He said, "Before you take any decisions, pray about it. And then, this is the thing, and then never regret what happens." Never regret. Never regret what happens in life. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say, by the way, everything will be nice, everything will be comfortable. It doesn't say you'll get everything you want in life. It doesn't say that. It says all things work together for good. And then he explains what he means. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what God wants of us. Not that we should be comfortable, not that everything should be nice, but that we should grow to be like Jesus. And not everything went comfortably or smoothly in Jesus' life. You may like to think of one or two things that were not so pleasant that happened to Jesus. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. The thing is, what we need to remember, I need to remember, and maybe you do as well, is that the uncomfortable times in our lives are there for a purpose. It's not bad luck. These things are put there by God because God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. So don't complain or moan because God is working in our lives. So if the traffic lights are red, don't get grumpy at the traffic lights. Be grateful that God has given you a minute to relax and take a deep breath. If it's raining and you can't do what you want, don't complain about the weather. Maybe it's just that God wants you to do something different. I suspect if the bus really hadn't come for Marigold and nobody stopped to pick her up, she'd just have walked and she'd have said, "The Lord thinks I need the exercise." And this changes our life, doesn't it? It turns negative things into positive things. Paul talked in a slightly different context, but Paul talked about grief that produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So looking back on our lives, I can feel very grateful for so many things. But I think the lesson I need to learn is to be a bit grateful sooner. Don't need to look back 50 years to perceive that God was working in your life. Maybe half an hour is a better time, or maybe a minute. Because out of what might seem to be bad, good comes. All things work together for good. And these emblems, of course, are symbols of the cruelest, the most barbaric, the most unjust act in history. And out of it comes so much good. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name.